ce vasudevaya. Moshanam maya maya bhogaishwaryam evatan nuteti. Word for word. Na, not. By, indeed. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nunam, certainly. Amusha, Antubali Maharaj, Anujagraha, showed his favor. Yet, because, Uta, certainly, Unaha, again, Atma Anusmriti, of remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Moshanam, which robs one. Maya, maya, an attribute of maya. Bhoga Aishvaryam, the material opulence. Eva, certainly. Atanuta, extended. Iti, thus. The Supreme Personality of Godhead did not award his mercy to Bali Maharaj by giving him material happiness and opulence, for these make one forget loving service to the Lord. The result of material opulence is that one can no longer absorb his mind in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. There are two kinds of opulence. One which results from one's karma is material, whereas the other is spiritual. A surrendered soul who fully depends upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not want material opulence for sense gratification. Therefore, when a pure devotee is seen to possess exalted material opulence, it is not due to his karma. Rather, it is due to his bhakti. In other words, he is in that position because the Supreme Lord wants him to execute service to him very easily and opulently. The special mercy of the Lord for the neophyte devotee is that he becomes materially poor. This is the Lord's mercy, because if a neophyte becomes materially opulent, he forgets the service of the Lord. However, if an advanced devotee is favored by the Lord with opulence, it is not material opulence, but a spiritual opportunity. Material opulence offered to the demigods causes forgetfulness of the Lord. But opulence was given to Bali Maharaj for continuing service to the Lord, which was free from any touch of maya. Om ajnana timirandasya jnanam jana shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So here we see there's in the subterranean heavenly planets, a planet where Bhali Maharaj resides. And there he resides in great opulence, even more opulence than the heavenly planets. So the verse talks about why how Bali Maharaj was given this great opulence. He had this facility. Why was he given this? And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that someone may have great opulence in the material world due to their past pious activities. That's their karma, their good karma. We see so many rich men in the world. So that's their karma. But there's another type of opulence, and that's when an advanced devotee of the Lord is put in an opulent situation, like Bali Maharaj. The Lord, it puts him in that situation, not as a matter of karma, because of his advanced position in devotional service, rather that he won't become affected by that opulence, but he'll be able to properly use that opulence in the service of Krishna. I think the example of Srila Prabhupada's own devotional service is a fitting example. Srila Prabhupada was living in Radha Damodar Temple in Vrindavan before he came to America, in a very humble circumstance. Sometimes going to Delhi to work on the Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, Srila Prabhupada shifted from Vrindavan to Delhi in Chandi Chowk. He was living in Chandi Chowk in Chippewadi, right? That area. It's called Naya Sarak. From the Chippewadi, from the Chandi Chowk main road, there's a road called Naya Sarak. And you go inside and there's this Chippewadi area. So Brahmananda Prabhu explained that actually that is the place where Srila Prabhupada wrote his first three volumes of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto in that area. We had the understanding that he wrote Bhagavatam in his rooms in Radha Damodar, but that's actually not the situation. Because in that area, there were printing presses. And not like the printing presses today where they have offset presses and there's an artwork and there's a negative and plates are made. Not like that. In those days, it was a treadle press. And they composed one page by taking lead type, putting A, B, C, and making the full line. Then after they had one page, they would take a proof from the treadle machine. And you had to slip the paper in and get your hand out there before it came down and made an impression. So the pressmen, they were expert at, you know, putting the paper, getting their hand out, getting the paper out, putting the new paper in before the press came down and every time made an impression. The BBT had one treadle press in the BBT godown many years ago. By that time already there were negatives, but we were using the treadle press to make proofs. And then from that we would take a negative and then it would go for offset printing by making plates, etc. So we had an operator and he used to do that. But I remember one day they called me down from my office. They said, come quickly. And what had happened is that he didn't get his hand out of there fast enough. So the press came down on us. One finger was completely smashed. So we took him to the hospital and got him stitched up. And he lost his nail, but ultimately he was okay. So in this area, Chippewade, there's all these treadle presses. So Srila Prabhupada, while he was translating Bhagavatam, he was also checking the proofs that would come from the press. After they made one page, they would take out a proof, print it, give it to him, and he would check it. And then if there were corrections to be made, they would go back to that original plate that they had made and take out the errors and put in the new type to make it correct. So in that way, the first canto of the Bhagavatam is actually done in New Delhi, in that Chandni Chowk area. Srila Prabhupada, when he would go to the printers, he would organize paper, give it to the printer, right? He was doing all this work. And sometimes he would walk to the paper supplier and save the rickshaw money, right? So that he could use that money for purchasing paper. So this is a pretty humble situation that Srila Prabhupada was in at that time. Not very much money, but using all the money that he had in Krishna's service, right? Being very frugal to use money in Krishna's service. So later on, when Srila Prabhupada went to America and started this Krishna Consciousness Movement, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, compared to those days, he had great opulence. Right? 108 temples around the world. In many of those temples, he had his private quarters. Right? So, great opulence. Right? He had many servants. Right? And those servants were even prepared to do anything he said. And he didn't pay them anything. And that's opulence. I don't think there's a rich man in the world that had as many apartments for their use as Srila Prabhupada did, whether it was Detroit, New York, Los Angeles, London, wherever he went. Devotees would greet him at the airport with the ecstatic kirtan. Right? It's described by the devotees how Srila Prabhupada would come off the plane and come into the arrival lounge, and devotees would just start crying and jumping up and down in ecstatic emotions. And then when the public saw that, they would all come and, what's going on here? What is this? What is this? So Prabhupada's, just his arriving in the airport created a fantastic festival that even the non-devotees became attracted to. That's great opulence. Srila Prabhupada, however, his mood was that everything was for the service of Krishna. All opulence should be used in the service of Krishna. And he instructed us also, because opulence comes from Lakshmi, and Lakshmi today means money, right? So even when we were, counting money, we would say we were counting Lakshmi, right? Lakshmi counting, right? Lakshmi depositing. Nobody said money, they said Lakshmi. Lakshmi. Did you bring any Lakshmi? Means, did you bring any money? I don't know if devotees talk like that nowadays. But in those days, it was everything was Lakshmi. Because it was opulence, right? And that opulence belonged to Krishna. So Prabhupada gave specific instructions to the devotees about how to deal with Lakshmi, how to deal with money, how to deal with this opulence. Because money was coming. Right? In all the temples, devotees were going out on book distribution. And in India, the devotees were going out on life membership. So Lakshmi was coming. And one of his first instructions to the devotees was, especially to Girat Swami right here in Bombay, was that whatever money comes, first it must go into the bank before it can, and then it can be spent. Right? That was his first instruction, because it becomes an automatic type of bookkeeping when money goes into the bank. Right? There's already a record with the bank that so much has come. So that was his first instruction. So this opulence, we see advanced devotees, they have this opulence because Krishna has given them this opulence. But they don't become affected by it. They don't become enamored by that opulence. If you look, there was a movie that was made of Srila Prabhupada on 26 Second Avenue, and he was preaching there. In that movie, it was actually one college student had to make a movie for his photography class in New York University. So he thought, let me make a movie about the devotees. So he came to 26 Second Avenue and he made this movie. And the movie, he submitted it for his, grade, his project, and afterwards he forgot about it. So many years later, around 1981, 82, he found that movie in his basement, and he thought, what is he going to do with it? And then he thought, well, maybe the devotees would like to have it. So one day he came to 55th Street, and he approached the devotees, and he said, look it, I made this movie when I was a student. Would you like to have it? And when the devotees saw the movie, they were in, they were in a static bliss. Right? I think the name of the movie was Magic from 26th, something like that. It had Prabhupada preaching in it. So one thing that, and they showed it, at that time I was living in 55th Street in Manhattan. I was Gornitai Pujari then. And they showed the movie. So what impressed me was that in 1966, when Prabhupada was preaching, it was the same preaching that he was doing in 76 or 77. And that is about Lord Chaitanya, the importance of devotional service. Right? So Prabhupada was remaining the same, even though he had great opulence. And when he was in a less opulent position, materially speaking, from a material point of view, from a spiritual point of view, living in Radhadamodar temple is great opulence. It's a great facility, being next to Rupa Goswami Samadhi and Bhajan Kutir in Radhadamodar temple. For a devotee, that's great opulence. But his rent was 5 rupees a month, right? And his food was, that included one plate of the Rajbhog in 5 rupees a month, right? So we think, wow, that's like, you know, an impoverished condition. Your rent's only 5 rupees. But for someone who's on the spiritual platform, living in such a situation is great opulence. So the devotees of the Lord, they're the same. Whatever situation they're in, they see everything in the service of Krishna. Right? Bali Maharaj was a special devotee of the Lord, one of the Mahajans, and his situation is similar. That the Lord put him in this opulent situation just to facilitate his service. He gave up everything, Bali Maharaj. In fact, in the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami uses him, his devotional service, as the example of Atmanivedanam, who surrendered everything to the Supreme Lord, Bali Maharaj. Even though Sukracharya, his spiritual master, was advising him, don't do it, don't surrender. And Sukracharya had helped him a lot, because he was fighting with Indra and he was wounded so severely that he had left the body. But Sukracharya brought him back to life. So you might think that he had some, you know, debt to Sukracharya. Certainly he did. Right? And the fact that he was listening to and following the orders of Sukracharya, he became more and more powerful. So much powerful that he could throw Indra out of the heavenly planets and sit on his throne. All by his surrendering to Guru. So we can understand the importance of the verse that we sing every day in Mangal Arti time. Yasya Prashada Bhagavat Prashada Yasya Prashada Nagati Vitopi. We may think anything, right? But it's not important what we think, it's what Krishna thinks. If Krishna sees that we're trying to surrender to the instructions of the spiritual master, then he will help us in devotional service. Sometimes persons think, well, you know, Srila Prabhupada was so exalted, and that's actually a fact. And compared to him, you can't really compare any other devotee in ISKCON to him. And some, I have the idea, well, I'll surrender to Prabhupada, but I, you know, everybody else is something less, so I won't surrender to them. But just think about the way Krishna looks at that, right? Or the way Srila Prabhupada thinks of that. Even in Srila Prabhupada's time, Srila Prabhupada had us surrendering to his followers. Temple president, whatever he said, that was it. Final. It was like going to the Supreme Court. Final decision, temple president. And we surrendered. If he said, go out on Sankirtan, we went out on Sankirtan. We didn't say, oh, That's it. So in one sense you might say, well, the temple president is not Srila Prabhupada, so I don't have to follow him. Right? He's not as great as Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes he doesn't make the Mangal Arti, so he's not, you know, anything. Right? There was a devotee, his name was Govardhan. He was the temple president in Detroit. And Govardhan had started the preaching in Detroit. But he wasn't very regular at Mangalarti. So the local GBC there, he decided that it's time for a change. And then he put in another devotee called Madhavananda and told him, and told Govardhan, you know, you're out. But then when Srila Prabhupada came to Detroit, that time he was going to install the Gornitai deities. It was kind of like an opening. A lot of devotees came from many places. We also came, we drove up from St. Louis to Detroit. We brought the deities with us, Gornitai, put them on the altar. I remember I was driving the van up there and the back tire went out. And the whole van started to sway on the highway back and forth. And I had to really control it and pump the brakes so it didn't start spinning around. Like, they had all the devotees in the van in the back. So we wound up on the side of the road and, you know, everybody was safe. By Krishna's grace. So the devotee next to me said, hey, you handled that like a professional driver. And I realized it was just Krishna's mercy. He wanted to save the devotees. So anyway, there in Detroit, first thing Prabhupada said was, where's Govardhan? And they said, oh, he's no longer the president. Madhavananda's the president or whatever it is. And Prabhupada said, no, put Govardhan back. Put Govardhan back. So anyway, the point being that we were surrendering to devotees, following their instructions, because that's what Prabhupada wanted. So now in his absence, would it be that he doesn't want us to do that now? Would it be that now we can say, well, you know, nobody's like Prabhupada, so I'm just going to listen to Prabhupada and the heck with everybody else? Huh? No. He wouldn't say that. So the reason why I'm bringing this point up is that as Bali Maharaj, he was surrendered to Guru, and therefore he could, you know, have the direct darshan of Lord Vamandev and get the opportunity to fully surrender. So that is required. That's required. And our mental speculation about who is advanced and who's not advanced might not necessarily be right. But the principle of being humble and being submissive is an eternal principle in surrender. And this picking and choosing who I'm going to be humble with and who I'm going to be surrendered to is not necessarily so pleasing to Srila Prabhupada or Krishna. Prabhupada makes the point here that if a neophyte devotee gets opulence, they have a tendency to forget Krishna. There's four reasons why persons come to devotional service. And one of them is because they don't have any money. Like there was that Steve Jobs from Apple Computers. He said that, you know, I was so broke, I used to walk every Sunday across town to get a good meal at the Hare Krishna temple. So some people don't have money, they come to devotional service. But we see many times that after one becomes better situated, you know, they just go away. Right? They leave the Krishna consciousness movement. So that's the position of the neophyte. And Steve Jobs, he got money because of his karma. Right? But ultimately, what good did it do him? having so much wealth. Now he's separated from his wealth. Right? He's in another body somewhere, left this world. Generally speaking, persons who do fruitive activities, work very hard to make money and spend it on their family members, they become more and more entangled in material life. So we in devotional service, we may think, well, Krishna's not giving me any money. Well, that's actually Krishna's mercy for the neophyte devotee. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes in devotional service, there's two great pitfalls for a neophyte devotee. And they are women and money. So anyway, there's a very nice purport in the fourth canto on the chapter of the activities of the Prachetas, and it explains this point about opulence and why it comes to the devotee or it doesn't come to the devotee, and I thought that we could go over that. This is from the fourth canto, chapter 30, text number 19. I'm reading from the purport. Generally, a person living in a family becomes overly attached to fruitive activity. In other words, he tries to enjoy the results of his activities. A devotee, however, knows that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and the supreme proprietor. Bhoktaram yajna tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. Consequently, the devotee does not consider himself the proprietor of any occupation. The devotee always thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the proprietor. Therefore, the results of his business are offered to the Supreme Lord. One who thus lives in the material world with his family and children never becomes affected by the contaminations of the material world. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text number 9. Yajnarthat kamanon yatra loko yam karma bandhana taratam karma konteya mukta sanga samacharaha. When one tries to enjoy the results of his activities, becomes bound by the results. One who offers the results or profits to the Supreme Personality of God, however, does not become entangled in results. This is the secret of success. So sometimes, you know, rich men, they think, okay, now I'm going to Vrindavan. Now I'm going to Vrindavan. I'm renouncing the world. I'm going to Vrindavan. Very good. So one son, he gives half his wealth. The other son, he gives the other half his wealth. You know. And he goes to Vrindavan empty-handed. So Prabhupada said in one lecture, Krishna is not so fool. You came to Vrindavan, but where's your money? You gave all your money to your sons and wife, and now you came to Vrindavan with only bead bag. Huh? Krishna is not so fool. So, practical demonstration of non-attachment, right, is that a householder will use money in the service of Krishna. And Prabhupada specifically mentions in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement by organizing sankirtan, the chanting of the holy name, distributing prasadam, a householder's main duty is to distribute prasadam. So much so that he's meant to go to the you know, to the front door at lunchtime and call everyone or anyone who's hungry, please come and eat. And then he can, after people come and eat, then he can eat. The duty of a household. And then one becomes a grihastha. Otherwise, it's grihamedi life. And the attachments just become more and more and more. But the situation that Srila Prabhupada is describing, working for the satisfaction of Krishna, then that even though one may be in household life, one won't become attached. Right? One will be progressive in spiritual life. Same way with taking sannyas. Everything has to be done with the right mentality. If someone sees that the sannyasis always get the maha plate, then they say, well, I'll also take sannyas. That may not be the best reason to take sannyas. Srila Prabhupada quotes one verse, Ihaya shahareya dasha kamana manasa gira nakila yabivasta su jivan muktisa uchite. That engaging one's activities, one's mind, one's words in the service of Krishna. Again, we see by Srila Prabhupada's example, he was always talking about Krishna. Whether it was on the morning walk, whether it was in the Bhagavatam class, right? Or sitting in his room giving darshan, right? Or sitting with devotees, always discussing about Krishna and Krishna conscious related topics. And this is the key to becoming detached, gradually detached from material consciousness and becoming more absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So there's a nice verse quoted here from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. Krishna bhajane jaha hoy anaku vishaya bhalya tyage taha hoy bhula. If one is so expert that he can engage everything or dovetail everything in the service of the Lord, to give up the material world would be a great blunder. One should learn how to dovetail everything in the service of the Lord, for everything is connected to Krishna. That is the real purpose of life and secret of success, as reiterated in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Tasmad Ashakta Satitam Karyam Karma Samacharaha Ashakto Yacharam Karma Param Apnoti Purushuttaha. Therefore, without being attached to the fruits of activities, one should act as a matter of duty, for by working without attachment, one attains the Supreme. This consciousness is exemplified in the life of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He had many children. He was the head chief magistrate, right? very powerful position. Right? But yet he was thinking that his family and his family members, they all belong to Nandakishore. They're his. Right? And simply, I'm your manager. I'm here to manage these things for you. That's all. This is the devotee's real mentality. A rich man shouldn't think, it's my money. He should be thinking that this is actually Krishna's money. And that I'm managing it for him. We have a very big donor in Chopati. Very rich man. But he's a devotee. And he only gives money selectively, not all the time he gives money. Because he's not so sure the devotees know how to spend it. So this is okay, because the mentality is not that it's my money, therefore I'm hoarding it. The mentality is that it's Krishna's money, and therefore it should be spent properly for Krishna's mission. When Srila Prabhupada went to the Tirupati, he met with the Tirupati Tirumala Devastanam, the chief executive officer, and he was preaching to them. Balaji means Krishna. So the money that comes for Balaji should be spent for Balaji's mission. You have to know what is the mission, because at that time they were opening up with the money from the temple in Tirupati, they were opening up TV factories, and because the mood then was that the new temples of India are the factories. Jawaharlal Nehru. But no, Krishna's money should be spent for Krishna's mission. Yida yida hi dhanasya dhanir bhakti bharata vyutanam dhanasya taratmanam shudyamya. So then, that use of the money won't create attachments. Money spent for sense gratification, attachments. So there's a fine line. You know, if you really want to be safe, then take the instructions from the spiritual master and follow them carefully. Right? Otherwise, we might think we're spending money for Krishna's service, but sense gratification creeps in. Srila Prabhupada says those who collect money can know how to spend money, because they know the difficulty in raising funds. The first generation earns so much money. The second generation, they don't know the difficulty in earning that money, and so they squander the money. However, if one always keeps the mentality that this is Krishna's money, and it should be used in Krishna's service properly, then one will be always prudent. In Vrindavan, there was one letter that needed to go to the bank. So, Prabhupada made the letter, gave it to the devotee. The devotee was going to get it to the bank. So before he left, he said, "How are you going to get it to the bank?" He said, "Well, I'll go outside and take a rickshaw and take it down to the bank." And Prabhupada said, "How much does a rickshaw cost?" He said, "It costs something, you know." He said, "How much is a stamp?" The stamp was less than the rickshaw. And Prabhupada said, "Put a stamp on it and put it in the post office." That's frugality, being frugal, saving Krishna's money. One should never think, "Oh, money is coming, therefore we can spend lavishly." No, money may be coming, but we should use every bit of caution how the money is spent. Because Krishna can make things dry up in a second. We've seen so many examples. Temples were operating in great opulence. There was one devotee named Bhagawan. He was in charge of so many temples, right? Very opulent situation. But then the money dried up, and those same temples today find it difficult to even pay the bills and keep the doors open. So the secret is to have the mentality like Srila Prabhupada, have the mentality like Bali Maharaj, that everything belongs to Krishna, and therefore it should be used very carefully in his service. That will be best in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, in our own devotional service also. We'll be able to be not attached to sense gratification, and progress nicely in devotional service. Hare Krishna. We kind of ran out of time. There was another, because Bali Maharaj is the example of surrender, there's a nice verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where Srila Prabhupada explains the verse from the Hari Bhakti Vilas by Sanatana Goswami about the six surrender, the six processes of surrender. So I'll read that just quick, a little bit from the purport, just so we touched on it. This is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 22, text number 100. Anukul yasya sankalpa pratikul yasya vardhanam rakshishyatiti vishvaso goptripe varanam tata atma nikshepa karpanya sadvidha saranagati. The six divisions of surrender are the acceptance of those things favorable to devotional service, the rejection of unfavorable things, the conviction that Krishna will give protection, the acceptance of the Lord as one's guardian or master, full self-surrender, and humility. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One who is fully surrendered is qualified with the six following characteristics. One, the devotee has to accept everything that is favorable for the rendering of transcendental loving service to the Lord. Two, he must reject everything unfavorable to the Lord's service. This is also called renunciation. Third, a devotee must be firmly convinced that Krishna will give him protection. No one else can actually give one protection, and being firmly convinced of this is called faith. This kind of faith is different from the faith of impersonalist who wants to merge into the Brahman effulgence in order to benefit by cessation of repeated birth and death. A devotee wants to remain always in the Lord's service. In this way, Krishna is merciful to his devotees and gives him all protection from the dangers found on the path of devotional service. Four, the devotee should accept Krishna as his supreme maintainer and master. He should not think that he's being protected by a demigod. He should depend only on Krishna, considering him the only proprietor. The devotee must be firmly convinced that within the three worlds, he has no protector or maintainer other than Krishna. Five, self-surrender means remembering that one's activities and desires are not independent. The devotee is completely dependent on Krishna, and he acts as Krishna's desires. Six, the devotee is meek and humble. So these are the six symptoms of surrender. The Prabhupada cites a verse here, Savasya Chahami Sani Visto Matasmiti Vyanama Poem Cha. And so Krishna makes us forget, remember, gives us knowledge. And for the devotee that's surrendered, that devotee forgets apohanam, forgets material enjoyment, remembers Krishna. For those who are not surrendering, right, they can't help but think of sense gratification. They can't help but think of material enjoyment. And they become always absorbed in it. So the idea is to surrender to Krishna, and Krishna will protect us from Maya. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Comments?
I have a question and a comment. My question is that you just meant, anyway, by the way, first I want to thank you for wonderful class, reminding old age, blissful. Kevalananda Kanda, old age blissful. My question is that a scripture talks about surrendering to Guru. You just mentioned how Bali Maharaj was surrendered to Guru, got all the opulence, everything. But practically today in ISKCON, the first question is which Guru? Siksha Guru, Diksha Guru, Paspadasa Guru, which Guru? Second question is that in ISKCON, now devotee by reading these books, hearing, they want to surrender everything to their Guru. But they said now the paper is coming out by GBC, they have to surrender society, surrender GBC, it is becoming parallel authority and so on and so forth. So in this whole situation, how to understand a scripture? You know, what a scripture means? Surrender to Guru. Is it, you know, Prabhupada or Shiksha Guru or, you know, initiating Guru or whom or whom?
Well, I think that the point that's being made in that paper by the GBC recently is that, you know, Prabhupada set up various authorities. And the temple president is one authority. The GBC body is one authority. And obviously, the guru is one authority. Srila Prabhupada, in his personal presence, he recognized all those authorities and he recommended that we follow those authorities. Whether it was, of course, his authority is, you know, the supreme authority in ISKCON as the founder of Acharya. And all the other authorities are meant to serve his instruction. There's no meaning to GBC, there's no meaning to temple president, unless they are an authority under his direction, following his authority. So, the GBC has no authority outside the authority of Srila Prabhupada. The temple president has no authority outside the authority of Srila Prabhupada. So, following their instruction is following Srila Prabhupada. We always felt that. When I got initiated, we didn't go around and collect money and give dakshin. Right? We didn't do that. Prabhupada didn't tell us to do that. Because everything we collected, or whatever we went out and sold a book, whenever we did anything, it was going to Srila Prabhupada. Through the via medium of his BBT or his ISKCON, everything we were doing was for Srila Prabhupada. So the devotee needs to understand those lines of authority and how, in one sense, they're all one, and in one sense, there may be some difference in the details. Simultaneous. Everything in our movement is simultaneously one and different. Right? Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Although we all have individual gurus, right? Guru is one. The guru is a representative of Krishna. Guru gives the instructions of Krishna. Following guru means following Krishna. But that's not to say that, you know, we don't live in a society where there's a structure that was set up by Srila Prabhupada, and that for following this principle of guru we can ignore everybody else. That won't work either. Srila Prabhupada set up the ISKCON structure for people to make spiritual advancement. So if we follow the ISKCON structure and at the same time have intention of surrendering to Guru, following his instructions also, so it's all blended together. The problem is that we, in a very neophyte stage, think that you're like a horse with blinders. You know, you can't see this way or that way. No, only Guru. Then that's a mistake also. That's a fanaticism. It's a society. It's like a family. In your family, you have your father, but you also have your mama, your mother's brother. And many times he gives more instructions than even your father. Is it not, mama? Huh? You have kaka. In the family, you can say, Kuchmiho, Kaka, Sunegane. Father will appreciate. He won't appreciate. Huh? So, like that, there is a structure set up by Srila Prabhupada, and we need to see how to harmonize everything in such a way that we make advancement in devotional service, and when it's harmonized, when it's working well, other people will make advancement in devotional service. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, amazingly enough, the worst thing in the world is organized religion. There's nothing more despicable than organized religion. But he made the Gaudiya Mutt an organized religion. So how can that be? Because without organization, you can't have preaching. You have a society. In a society, there's going to be politics. You can't avoid it. It's going to be there. But we have to tolerate it. Why? Because it's for preaching. Previously, before Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas were not organized. If you were a Gaudiya Vaishnava, it means that you were a Babaji living in Radhakund somewhere, or one of the other holy dons, and you were chanting, and maybe you had a few followers. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he organized the Brihat Madanga. Srila Prabhupada followed that example in ISKCON. So the problems come in when neophytes don't understand the dynamics of a spiritual organization. Either they think too much of it and get let down when they go into it and see that there are, you know, there are difficulties. Right? Not that there aren't difficulties. And then they become completely flabbergasted and go away. Neophyte. Right? So, I could probably go on for longer, but you know, you get the idea, the point that I'm saying? And you can add something.
You're talking about organization or authority, that GVC authority, Guru authority. If there is conflict between GVC and Guru, Guru said go left, GVC said go right.
Well, we have a lot of examples of that. Then we should refer back to what Srila Prabhupada would want. Right? And I think that
Prabhupada said follow your Guru. Everywhere, surrender to Guru, surrender to Guru, surrender to Guru.
Well, you know, in an ideal situation, there wouldn't be a conflict. Because both are working far and on the basis of Srila Prabhupada's instructions. So if Srila Prabhupada's instructions are the common denominator, whether it's Guru or GBC or temple president, you know, ideally there wouldn't be a conflict of interest. But we are in the material world to some degree, and we do have false egos to some degree, and therefore those things come into interplay and some conflicts may arise. I think that's why Srila Prabhupada, in his last will and testament, mentioned that the final authority would be the GDC in all these regards. So one has to keep that in mind also. There's some conflict.
So is it that, like you say, that everybody representing Prabhupada, like temple president, GBC, gurus, because they have service to society. They are institutional temple president, institutional GBC, institutional guru. So the everybody interest is institution.
Everybody what?
Interest is to serve the institution. So the follower should also have same interest.
Why? Because Srila Prabhupada said that, you know, Krishna has taken birth in the womb of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Our interest is to serve Krishna. And, you know, Srila Prabhupada's desire was to serve Krishna. And ISKCON is a manifestation of that desire. As long as we keep his instructions and his purity, then serving the institution, in one sense, is also serving Krishna.
Yeah, I get that point, but this difference, still I am confused because devotees are confused and they keep asking this question.
Right.
Between guru, I mean, I answer that all are same. Whether GBC or guru or president.
Well, let's take an example.
They all have service.
Let's say some money comes and the guru says, devotee in ISKCON gets a donation. So the guru can't tell him to do anything different from what Srila Prabhupada said with that donation, and that is put the money in the bank. You understand?
Which bank? ISKCON bank or guru bank?
Naturally, ISKCON's bank.
Guru account or ISKCON account? I mean, just like a temple person, Prajari Prabhu or temple person. When he acquires some land or money, it goes to ISKCON. So same way, guru acquires some disciples, or when he makes devotee, they are devotee of ISKCON. Same way, guru gives initiation, so they become the follower, they are the, you know, member of ISKCON.
What to speak of ISKCON? Srila Prabhupada, he mentioned one time that I know you are all the disciples, the followers of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he sent you here just to help me. He didn't even see that they were his disciples. He thought they were the followers of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and that he's trying to do some service to his spiritual master, and his spiritual master sent these people to help him. It's just like if you think it's my money, well, you're in my help. If you think it's my family, you're in my help. If you think they're my disciples, you're in my help.
Thank you. Okay, my comment.
Sukracharya got in mind. He said, don't surrender to Vishnu. Whatever you do, don't surrender. And Bali Maharaj said, well, wait a minute. You've been telling me all along, we've been doing yajna for Vishnu and surrender the grains, the ghee, everything we're surrendering to Vishnu. And by that yajna, I was able to keep the seed of Indra. And now Vishnu's come before me, and you're telling me not to surrender. Bali couldn't adjust it, and he surrendered anyway.
Okay, my comment is, Prabhupada in Parapat, he writes about two kind of opulence. Material opulence acquired by
karma,
and the opulence given by the Lord
for service.
For the service of the Lord. So here the word has been is Aishwarya. So Aishwarya means there are, Prasar Muni says, there are six kind of Aishwarya. So anybody who acquires a spiritual opulence, he automatically acquires the six opulences. Devotee of the Lord, they are most beautiful. Prabhupada said that these boys and girls, they were like hippie before, now shaved head, saffron cloth, they look like Vaikuntha man. Beautiful. We had Prabhudas who passed away. Before he even passed away, he said, I am a very young man. You know. So So devotees, they look beautiful. Devotees are very intelligent. Jai Krishna Bhaje, Sai Bada Chatur, they get their opulence. You know, they are renounced. Whatever they do, they get good name. Prabhupada compared with Mr. Birla, that in such and such year, he may have earned so much, but look how much Krishna has given to us. So that was other thing. So all the six opulences comes to anyone who surrenders to Krishna, that is given by Krishna, specifically. When devotees are always youthful, they are bright. Where a karmic, who may have so much wealth, their teeth fallen apart, you know, they look so ugly, looking wise also, but devotees, they get...
Certainly devotees get opulence by surrendering to Krishna. But the problem comes in where they forget where that opulence is coming from. And then Krishna can pull the plug anytime. And he does. And that's also Krishna's mercy on the devotee, so that the devotee will surrender and think, oh, I made a mistake. I forgot you. I forgot this was your opulence. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Apart from Krishna...
Remember, the brahmacharis have to go eat breakfast. It's okay.
Apart from Krishna, can we depend for our protection on the devotees like Hanumanji, Prabhupada, Jesus, who are the pure devotees of Lord? Not on demigods, but on devotees. Can we depend for our protection?
Why not?
Second question is...
Who else would you pretend would depend on for your protection? Krishna and Krishna's devotees.
And suppose...
They're Krishna and Krishna Tadiya, you know, they're the same.
Suppose one devotee is compelled to make offering to some relief for social organization for charity, and he knows that this is a binding karma. This karma, though good, but will be binding.
Right.
So can he deposit that money and offer that money in the name of Sri Krishna Vasudev Yadav instead of his name?
Well, you have to see the purpose for, you know, there's charity, and Bhagavad Gita describes different kinds of charity. Charity in the mode of ignorance, charity in the mode of goodness, charity in the mode of passion, you know.
Yeah, this is in the mode of goodness, but just to make it akarma, from karma to akarma, if he changes...
The only way you can do that is to give it to Krishna.
Huh?
The only way you can do that is to give it to Krishna. And again, what is giving it to Krishna means for Krishna's mission.
Okay, thank you.
Time's up. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Rashi Mad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nityananda Prabhu Nand